Great. Good to see you. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, let's tell them we love them. That is awesome. Let me go ahead and put a plug in for working with our kids. If you would like to work with our kids, please fill out the little communication card right here and say, I'd like to work with kids. And we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to contact you and talk to you a little bit, and we'll do a background check. Now, what's the background check for? We're not checking on speeding tickets and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're just making sure you're safe to work with kids. So that's all we're looking for. And so if you're willing to do that, you get to go and be a part of Kids Creek sometime. Isn't that going to be awesome? Oh, that's like a root canal. I mean, that is like the church portion, like a root canal right there. Everybody come get a root canal, right? And that's what it looked like. Well, anyways, if you're called to work with kids and you believe that you would like to do that, man, we would love to have you help. A lot of opportunities to serve our little ones. Well, we're starting a series today entitled Let It Go. And the reason why we're talking about that here in the first part of 2019 is because inevitably some things happened to you or around you or with you in 2018 that you might still be holding on to in 2019. And you cannot be, listen, you cannot have the life God wants you to have in 2019 if you're still hanging on to 2018. What's going on? Anybody? Okay, make sure. Okay, all right. So you can't move ahead like God wants you to move ahead if you're still hanging on to 2019. You just can't do that. So we started this series for the next few weeks called Let It Go, and today we're going to talk about something that has hit our entire country. I don't know if it's pandemic. I don't know if it's across the world, but it's certainly true in our country, and it's called a victim mentality. A victim mentality. We are suffering from something within the church and outside the church called a victim mentality. Now, please listen today. If you listen to no other sermon, listen to this one, because I promise you, if you've struggled with a victim mentality, there'll be some principles here today that we're going to see from the life of Joseph that are going to set you free. And I promise you they will. But here's what a victim mentality looks like. So if you're sitting there going, well, I don't really know if I have a victim mentality or not, here's some signs that you have a victim mentality, okay? First is this. You're constantly blaming other people or situations for feeling miserable. I'm miserable because of you. That's what that looks like. So if you spent 2018 being miserable, pointing at everyone other than the person you see in the mirror, you might have a little bit of a victim mentality. Now, how many of you are already mad at me? Right, you might have just a little bit of a victim mentality going on. Here's another one. You possess a life is against me philosophy. It's just absolutely against me. You wake up in the morning and it's not good morning, Lord. It's good Lord, it's morning. You know, you walk out the door and you're just pretty certain that everybody you know is going to say something about you, something to you, or is talking about you behind your back. You just have a mentality that is negative and is a victim. Another thing is, you're cynical or pessimistic. You could win $8 million in the lottery and you'd be mad because it wasn't 10. Well, I won $8 million, yeah. But you know, some guy up in Sheboygan, you know, he won $10 million. So, and you would just be all bummed out because a victim mentality begins to control your outlook on everything about life. And now let me tell you, you are not too young to have a victim mentality and you're not too old to have a victim mentality. It can hit you at any and all ages. Another one. You see all of your problems as catastrophes, and you blow them way out of proportion. You burn dinner, and I promise you, you think World War III is starting tomorrow with China. You wake up in the morning and you can't find your white shoes, so you have to wear your black shoes. I should just call in sick. I should just call in sick. You blow it out of proportion. A victim will never see things in a balanced, fair-minded way. A victim mentality will always lead you to see things in a different perspective, worse than what they really are. You think others are purposely trying to hurt you. You go on Facebook, and you have two things going on Facebook. One, you think everybody's life posts are real. All right, so you go on Facebook. See, everybody's life is great and mine's horrible, right? So that's the first thing. You go on Facebook and everybody's life is real except yours, right? So that's, and then second, They post all that happy stuff for one reason: to make you miserable. That's why they post it. Oh, they went to the mountains. Look at the 27 pictures they posted. They did that because they know I wanted to go to the mountains and I can't afford it, and they posted it just to get to me. Some of you are looking at me like, how did you know I thought that? A victim mentality looks at other situations and other people and other things, and they believe everything is coming against them. It is all about them. And then it goes on. It says, you believe you're the only one being targeted for mistreatment, sort of what we just said. You keep reliving past painful memories that make you feel like a victim. Oh, I got to tell you, I moved to Putnam County 15 years ago. This is the only home my kids really remember and know. They were raised here. But there were a couple of things that surprised me a little bit. One was how people won't go to church with other people because of what happened in seventh grade. Some of you, all the Putnam County people are saying, shut up. If you knew what they did to me in seventh grade, you wouldn't go to church with them either. And so what you do if you get a victim mentality, guess what you're doing? You're reliving all of that hurt, all of that struggle. And it was probably real. But you're reliving it and reliving it and reliving it and reliving it. And you've not let it go. I mean, it's sort of interesting, isn't it? So another way to know that if you have a victim mentality or not, or a little bit one. Now, of course, a victim mentality is a scale, right? I mean, you could be mildly victimish to majorly victimish, right? It's not all the same. And so it can sort of span a scale a little bit. So you might be just a little bit there, or you might be a lot there. But here's another thought for you. You believe that the world is scary and mostly a bad place. You could wake up, the sun is shining, driving over the bridge. I've done this a million times, so have you. And the river is just calm and beautiful and clear, and the sun is coming up. It's a beautiful day. You could wake up saying, yeah, but it's going to rain sometime. And you know what? I know about infrastructure issues. This bridge is going to fall. I bet it's going to fall right now. If I get over the bridge, you know, it's going to be lucky. Because the bridge is against you. Right? That is a victim mentality. Now, one more for you, then we'll look at how to get out of it. You feel powerless to change your circumstances. You look around you and everything that's going on, and then you look in the mirror and say, it's never going to get any better. I simply can't get any better. It just can't. It's going to be like that forever and ever, and this is how it's going to be. Now, there's a guy in the Bible named Joseph. If anyone had the right and had the opportunity to become a victim, it's Joseph. We're going to spend the next few minutes looking at Joseph's life. And you're going to see that at every turn and in every circumstance, Joseph could have become a victim. He could have copped a victim mindset. He could have copped a victim spirit. He could have laid down, curled up in the corner, and died a number of times, but he didn't. And because he didn't, his future was better than his past. And that's the message for you today. If you're coming out of 2018, and some of those hit a little bit too close to home, and hope you don't mind us having a little fun with that. If some of that hit a little bit too close to home, there's a way you can walk free from that. There's a way you can let it go. And God's going to show you how to do that right now and right here. Well, if you have your Bible or your device, flip over, if you will, to Genesis 37. Let me tell you what's going on. Now, forgive me, I'm going to tell this story more so than read scriptures because it stretches over about 13 chapters. Can I get an amen? I'm not going to read 13 chapters. Let's collect the offering. Get the plates. Right? All right. Yeah, not going to read 13 chapters. But over in Genesis chapter 37, the real story of Joseph begins. Joseph is the youngest child of a guy named Jacob. You'll see his name in the text, also called Israel. He had about 12 older brothers. He was the youngest. And there was something at the very beginning that began to position Joseph where he could have had a victim mentality, and the people around him could have a victim mentality. Now, you develop a victim mentality one of two ways. Let me tell you this, and we'll look at the text. One is you do it through sort of what I call a determined way. In other words, things happened in your life to you that you had nothing, no control over. It was determined for you, circumstances, situations. But then you can become a victim because of decisions you make, That's the second way. All of these determinational factors come in, and then you have to make decisions on how you're going to view it. And at that point of decision, it determines the vector of your life. Pardon me for using an Air Force phrase. The direction of your life. It determines which way you're going to go and what's going to happen with your life and through your life and what God does. So the first thing we see is some determinational things are happening around Joseph, some things going on that he doesn't have any control over. All right? So let's look at 37 verse 3. Here's the first thing. Now Israel, that's Jacob, Joseph's dad, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw this, that their father loved him more than all the other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. So here's the situation. Just by being born, his dad loved him. He had no control over that. His brothers look at this and say, dad loves Joseph more than us. We're a victim. The brothers already copied victim mentality. Now, here's what I know. Most of you were raised with great moms and dads. But here's what's true. No mom and dad is perfect. I'm a dad, not perfect. I had a dad, not perfect. Nobody has a perfect family. So there was some inequality or inequity in your family. Some of you were hurt in your family dynamics. Maybe you were in a step situation. Maybe you were in a blended family. Maybe you were in a situation where you had a bunch of brothers and sisters and there was just a little bit of love to go around and not enough money. And you felt like always you were getting the short end of the stick. Some of you feel like a victim today because of your family situation. I want you to know you're going to see contrasted here two paths. A path of Joseph's brothers who became victims, but Joseph who became a victor. But they already, by the very beginning, said, you know what? Dad doesn't love us. We're copping a victim mindset. We're angry. One of the things that's true if you're a victim today, you're going to be angry. You're going to believe that everything is different and it's slotted against you. So it starts. So he had family issues and so the brothers are starting to get this victim mindset. Now look at what happened second in verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about the dream, they hated him even more. He said to them, now hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in a field. And behold, my sheaf stood up. Your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers then said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more because of his dreams. So, now, here's Joseph. He didn't ask for the dream. He didn't conjure up the dream. God just gave him the dream. Now, he did have some control over throwing it in his brother's face. Are you with me? He did have a little control doing a victory dance. Ha ha, I'm going to be the boss and you're not. Right? Now, that'll get you whipped. Anybody with me on that? I'm the youngest of four boys. I'm going to tell you, that'll get you flat out knocked out on the floor because that has happened before, all right? And so he did have a little control of running his mouth and who he told, but God gave him the dream. So here's another situation where the brothers could have rejoiced that God gave him a dream, but they didn't. They got further into a victim mindset. Oh, now God's even against us. Dad didn't love us. Now God's given this guy dreams. He's got this coat of many colors. We're done. So here's what happens. Let me tell you the story, and we'll move quickly. The next day, their brothers are on the back 40 tending the sheep. And the dad, Jacob, says to Joseph, take some lunch and go to your brothers. So he gets the lunch, and he goes to take it to his brothers. And when he was far off, the Bible says that one of the brothers said, look, here comes the dreamer. The dreamer that basically said, I'm going to be your boss, and you're going to kneel down before me. Not a good thing to say to your brothers. Just again, just a note to everybody who's still at home. Don't do that. Right? So he's coming. And one of the brothers say, oh, let's kill him. Let's kill him. And another brother says, no. We can't kill him. We don't really want that on our hands. But here's what we'll do. We'll beat him up. We'll take his coat of many colors. We'll tear it apart. We'll soak it in animal blood. We'll go kill an animal. We'll soak it in animal blood. And we're going to throw him in this pit. We'll take the coat back to dad and tell dad that a wild beast came out and killed our brother. They said, okay, that sounds like a pretty good plan. What are we going to do with him after that? Not sure. Let's just do plan one first. Boom. So they throw him in the pit. They beat him up. They go down. They tell Jacob that Joseph is dead. Now, a caravan's coming by a little bit later, and so they pull him out of the pit, and they sell him to the caravan into slavery. Now push the pause button right there. Joseph has every opportunity right now to become a victim. He's been beat up. He's been thrown in a pit. And has been sold into slavery. Those are, can we agree together that all, three of those are bad things? Can we agree with that? All three of those things are bad, right? He had every opportunity to develop a victim mindset and say, oh, poor me, the world is against me, everybody hates me, this is horrible, life is bad, I am poor little me, everybody needs to just be sympathetic to me because I'm me, right? He has every opportunity to do that. But I want you to see the rest of his story. He does it. Now, his brothers were consumed with a victim mindset, and they had to lash out. Know this, that if you're carrying a victim mindset from 2018 to 19, you are waiting to lash out. You're probably going to start struggling with anger issues. You're probably going to start struggling with judgmental issues. You're probably going to start struggling with relational issues. You're not going to be able to maintain healthy relationships very long. That's, if it's not already happened in 18, it's coming in 19 if you have a victim mindset. Everybody's against you. The world is against you. Everybody hates me. Everything posted or said is about me to make me feel bad. And I promise you, if that's where you are, you cannot have a healthy relationship. You can't. You can't do it. And so Joseph's brothers fell into that victim mindset. They chose to go down that road because of these circumstances. And so they go down this road, and they beat him up, throw him in a pit, and they sell him into slavery, and he goes into slavery. Now, when he gets into slavery, he ends up with a guy in a guy's house named Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was a ruler over much of Egypt. And he looked at Joseph. Now, remember, Joseph was about 17, 18 years old when all this went down. Young guy. So he goes in there, and the scripture tells us that he was a good-looking guy. He was very handsome to appearance. He was very smart because Potiphar turned over the running of all of his house to him. He was just a young guy who was really smart, who was entrusted with a lot of stuff. And so he ran the whole house. He ran everything. Well, here's what happens. Potiphar has this wife, right? And Joseph's going by one day, and good-looking young guy, and she says to him, come lie with me. That's not come tell stories with me, right? It's not what that is. Come lie with me. And she was really, I mean, the first documented cougar right here. There she is, right there, Potiphar's wife, right? She's the first cougar going after 17-year-old Joseph, right? So just so you know, this is where it comes from, right here, Potiphar's wife. Started the whole thing, right? So Potiphar's wife says, come lie with me, and Joseph says, no. Comes by again, second time. Come lie with me, Joseph. Come on now, you know. Come on, Potiphar's wife. Come on over. Nope, not going to do it. Then the third time she does it. It says, and then he turns and he says this. And you can read this in scripture. It's a wonderful response. He says, look, God has blessed me with this position. Why would I commit this sin against the Lord? Why would I downgrade myself because God's given me this position? Why would I slump to this? Right? And, of course, the answer is that he wouldn't. Now, remember, here's a guy who's been beaten up, tossed in a pit, sold into slavery, who could have been a victim. He could have just let everybody control his life. He could have just relished the attention. He could have just gone and run and had, you know, people leap, you know, this woman, you know, dote over him. He could have done all that to boost his ego and try to heal a broken spirit. But Joseph made a decision early in this process in his life that he would not be a victim. He would be a victor. He would rise above what everybody else did to him, what everyone else said to him, whatever was going on about him. He wasn't going to lay underneath that stuff. He was going to get above it, and he was going to live better. So, finally, here's what happened. He's walking by, and Potiphar's wife grabs his cloak, his robe, right? And he gets nervous, and he takes off running without his cloak. So he's now running naked throughout the palace. And how many of you know that doesn't look good when you start adding up the evidence? Anybody with me on this? So he's running naked throughout the house. And stop, some of you are so pious. Don't look at me like that. That's what the Bible says. He left the cloak. He's running naked through the house. And then here's what happened. Potiphar's wife begins screaming, hey, this Hebrew guy that you brought in here tried to rape me. Oh, man, he's trying to make fun of us, and he's just disrespecting everybody. Man, I can't believe he did this. Now, that's a lie. It's not true. He didn't do anything wrong, but he was lied about. So Potiphar comes home. Potiphar says, oh, so this is how you're going to treat me, and I've done all this for you. I got something for you called jail. And so he takes him and he throws him in the jail. Now, push the pause button for a minute. Here's another situation where Joseph could have become a victim. He could have said, I can't catch a break. I try to do the right thing, and people take shots at me. I try to do the right thing, and this crazy woman grabs my clothes and then lies about me. I can't catch a break. I am just a victim. Could have done it. In 2018, you had situations where people treated you wrong. People lied about you. They accused you of things you didn't do. They deceived you. They took a job out from under you. They said horrible things about you. And you have a choice as we start 19. You can let it go or carry it with you. But if you carry it with you, understand, you're going down the road of Joseph's brothers. We're going to see what happens to them in just a little while. You're going down that road of being a victim. It's not good. But right now, in your heart and mind, right there, right now, right where you sit, in your heart and mind, you can say, Lord, I'm letting that go. I am not going to carry that with me into 2019. I am forgiving those people. I don't really like them. Don't want to be around them. But I'm forgiving them. I'm not holding on to that. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to get above it. I'm going to get beyond it. I'm not going to let it hold me down. I'm going to do better than this. And you can. And so Joseph goes to jail. Now, when he's in jail, he chooses to be a victor, not a victim. So here's what he does. And all this is in chapter 39. And in chapter 39, he goes to jail, and the jailer recognizes that he's a gifted guy. So what does he do? He gives him all the responsibilities he can of the jail. He delegates to him basically the running of the jail. And matter of fact, so much so, in verse 23, the scripture says this, now the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Now, here's what you got to know. Victims do not see the success of the Lord. If you have a victim mindset, if you have a victim disposition, if you're operating from a victim mindset, God wants to speak and do unbelievable things to you and through you and with you, but victims don't get that. Victims sit in the corner, they close up, they don't use their gifts, they don't use their abilities, they don't show kindness, they don't show love, they don't show grace. Victims go in the corner and wait to die or wait to be rescued. They don't advance. But people who are victors, listen, see God speak through them and bless and impact others. That's what happens when you're a victor. Every situation you've gone through in 2018 that called you to be a victim, listen, God allowed to strengthen you and to help you be better. So whatever bad has happened in 18, there is something profound for you to learn and grow from. I promise you there is. It's not wasted on you. And so he goes to jail. And he's in jail and he's running everything there is. Joseph is. Now, here's what happens. People in the jail, there's a bunch of folks in jail, and a couple of folks from Pharaoh's palace are there. And they start to have dreams. Well, because Joseph isn't a victim but a victor, he hears these dreams, and he's open to God speaking to him. See, victims are not, they want God to fight for them, right? Victors want God to speak to them and use them. There's a difference. A victim says, God, go beat up all the bad people who hurt me. But a victor says, God, speak to me, use me, and work through me so I can do great things for your kingdom. That's the difference. So these people are having these dreams. And so God begins to speak to him about the dreams, and he interprets the dreams, and those guys eventually are released. Now, what happens? They go back to Pharaoh's palace. They go back to Pharaoh's palace, and they're there, and then Pharaoh has a dream, and it's a troubling dream, and he can't figure it out, so he calls all of his wise people together, all the mystics and the people he had around. He called them all together and said, hey, here's my dream. Y'all know what it means? No, not a clue. Well, one of the guys who had been with Joseph in the dungeon walked by and heard this and said, hey, I was in jail with this Hebrew guy, and he interpreted my dream, and it's been absolutely perfect. I'm here. I'm back working. I've been set free. You know, I was wrongly accused, all that. Everything that he said would happen has happened. I think you need to talk to this guy. See, here, another point. Victors get called for advancement. Victims stay behind. If you want 2019 to be a year of advancement for you, and I pray you do, you've got to get rid of any victim mentality that's in your life. So here's what happens. So Pharaoh says, okay, get the Hebrew guy. So they go get Joseph. Joseph comes in. Pharaoh tells him the dream. And he says, I hear you can interpret dreams. And Joseph, being a man of God, said, you know, it's not me. It's the Lord. The Lord does this through me. I don't have any ability, but I'll ask the Lord. And so he tells him the dream. He prays. God gives him the vision and gives him the understanding. So he begins to say, well, here's what's going to happen, Pharaoh. This isn't great news. The next several years are going to be really good for us. We're going to have record crops, bounty, bumper crops, harvests. Then we're going to have a famine. And it's going to be so bad that if we don't get ready now, not only are all the people outside of Egypt going to die, but all of Egypt's going to die too. We got to get ready. Pharaoh looks at him and says, that's brilliant. That's exactly what it is. You're in charge of famine preparation. Right? Thank you for the interpretation, and you're in charge. And how many of you know, never walk up to a pastor, hey, pastor, I got a great idea, because guess what you're going to hear next? You get to do it. Right? That's exactly what happens. So he goes up, and Joseph says, hey, here's the dream. And then Pharaoh looks at him and says, hey, great, you're now over all of Egypt when it comes to preparation for this famine, which is the most important thing on our agenda. Push the pause button. Here's another difference between a victim and a victor. A victim never sees God speak and use them on any level at all. They just don't. Victims don't. But a victor gets advanced beyond their wildest dreams. Do you think when he was in the pit all beat up, he thought just 20 years down the road he would be standing in front of Pharaoh and he would be running most of Egypt? Do you think he ever thought that? But his consistent daily decisions to not be a victim, but to be a victor. I'm going to use my gifts. I'm going to use my abilities. I'm going to lean in on my faith. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to listen to negative people. I'm not going to let circumstances control me. I'm just not going to go down that road. Yes, people have been bad to me, but I don't care. God's bigger than they are. Yes, my brothers beat me up. Oh, I wish I could hammer them. Any of you ever want to hammer your brother? Can I get a witness on that? Right, okay, so I was the youngest of four. I just want to make sure I'm not alone, right? So I'm not going to let this control me. I am going to be a victor. This is going to be better than anything that's ever happened in my life. That was Joseph's mindset. So what happened? He availed himself to be used by God to interpret dreams. Didn't have to. Could have said no. Could have had a pity party, but he didn't. So when he said this to Pharaoh, here's what went on. After this, the famine came, and of course, all the world was coming to Egypt to eat. Now, these chapters from this point all the way up to chapter 50 tells the story. I won't read it all, so let me tell it to you, okay? The famine hits, and his dad, Jacob, and his sons don't have any food. So they gather up some money, and they have to go down to Egypt to buy food. Well, guess who they have to appear in front of, the brothers, to buy food? Joseph. So Joseph now is older. He's about 40. You remember he was sold into slavery. He was about 17. So the brothers come in, and Joseph immediately recognizes his brothers because they hadn't changed a whole lot in 20 years, but he's grown up. He's become a young man. He's dressing like an Egyptian. He's got all kinds of jewelry and things on. His hairstyle's different, and he's a man now. So the brothers didn't recognize him. So the brothers come in, didn't recognize him, but Joseph recognized them. How many of you know if you offend your brother, they never forget? And if they may wait for weeks to get that payback, right? But they're going to get it. Anybody know that's true? I mean, it's absolutely true. And so here's Joseph sitting up there. His brothers are in front of him. And then he plays a little game with them. I won't go into all the details of the game, but he starts playing a little game with them. Like, okay, well, I think you've come to spy on the land, so, you know, leave one of your brothers here and go back and get the, because they told him that they had a younger brother, which Joseph had never seen, because when he left, he was the youngest. His dad had another kid, and sort of liked to see his brother, so he's playing a game with them. You know, we're going to keep one in hostage, go get the others. They still don't know it's Joseph. So they go through all of this, and then finally, at the end of the whole long hymn, you know, playing a game with them, he reveals to them, I am Joseph, your brother. Well, what do you think they thought? We're dead. You know, because, I mean, you can get over, you know, me cheating at a board game or, you know, maybe stealing your phone for a little bit. But, you know, beating you up, throwing you into a pit, and then selling you to slavery, you don't get over that real quick. Right? That sort of hangs on. right? And so that was, you know, so the brothers are there going, I wonder if this is hanging on. And so what happens with the story is Jacob finally comes, but his dad, he loves his dad so much, but his dad dies. And so Joseph throws for him a big Egyptian celebration of his life, a big funeral. It was like 40 days or something like that. And a pile of people was crying and weeping. He had paid mourners and all this. It was a big deal. Well, the brothers are reasoning this after Joseph reveals who he is. Says, you know, he's being sort of nice to us and we're eating and we're living here. But now dad's dead. And with dad dying, I'll bet you he's coming after us. And pretty good thinking, don't you think? Because if you're a victim, remember what you want. You want to get even. And in your mind as a victim, the whole world is against you. And if you're a victim here today, more than anything else, you want to see people as miserable as you are. Have you ever heard the old saying, misery loves company? Have you heard that? How many of you know it's true? Can I get an amen? It's absolutely true. Misery loves company. And if you've got a victim mindset, you want people to be just as miserable as you are. So Jacob dies. And now there's no protection for these brothers who beat him up, threw him in a pit, and sold him into slavery. So they develop an idea. Now, here's what they did. They got together and they said, Dad's dead, so we need to send Joseph a letter stating Dad's final wishes. Now, I don't really know if these are Dad's final wishes or not, but this was survival mode. So they wrote a letter to Joseph and said, Joseph, Dad's final wishes were for you to forgive us and treat us good. That's what he wrote, basically what he wrote. It said, it's Dad really wanted you to love us and not fry us like we fried you. You know, so please forgive us. That's what they wrote. So he writes this letter, sends it to him, and then one of the most profound passages of Scripture in all the Bible happens in Genesis chapter 50. Beginning in verse 19. Look at that, if you will. Well, in verse 20. He's gotten the letter. He's read the letter. His brothers are before him. Listen to what he says. He says, now as for you, here it comes, you meant evil things against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive just as they are today. So do not fear, my brothers. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus be comforted. And then he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. If you're going to transition from being a victim to a victor, this one theological truth has to become a reality in your heart. That what man may mean for evil, God will mean for good. God loves you. He cares about you. And though the whole world may align itself against you, I tell you the truth, that regardless of the rejection and the pain and the struggle and the hurt, what men meant for evil, God means for good. Amen. Joseph chose time and time again to be a victor and not a victim. Had he chosen a victim path, I firmly believe this. Had he chosen a victim path, he'd have never got out of jail. He'd have never stood before Pharaoh. He'd have never managed Egypt during its most critical time. He'd have never been reconciled with his brother. He never would have got to see his father again and met his little brother who he had never seen before. None of those blessings, none of those unbelievable things would have come into his life. None of them had he been a victim. Had he been a victim, he would have kept his mouth shut. He wouldn't have cared about other people. He would have sat in the corner, and it would have been a poor me life. And a poor me life isn't a blessed life. It's a cursed life. Amen. So, 2019 is here. And I'm going to ask you to do something as your friend. Let go of the victim mindset of 2018. Let go of the thoughts and the ideas that the whole world is against you. Let it go that all of life has been negative for you. Let it go that you're not God's favorite, that somehow you're a second-class citizen, even with the Lord. Let it go, the things people said about you, the lies they told, the deception they told. Let it go, the people who rejected you. Listen, Let me speak to that. The people who are not going to cry at your funeral shouldn't matter in your life too much today. Are you with me? I'm going to tell you, I care most about the people who are going to cry the most when I'm dead. Now, y'all may say, that's pretty morbid. No, it's just pretty true. It's just pretty true. Why do you let other people rob you of your joy and push you into a victim mindset? Listen, one of the first things I learned when I was going to AA is this. Don't let people live rent-free inside your head. All of you need to say amen. Amen. Don't let people live rent-free inside your head. Because they're not there doing any good. They're going to push you into a bad spot. Don't let them live there. Joseph consistently said, there is a God. He is bigger than my circumstances. He's more powerful than what's going on around me. And I'm going to trust him. And because of that, he moved into places he would have never gone as a victim. You could be a victor today, but you got to change your mind. You could be a victor today, but you got to change what you're looking at. You could be a victor today, but you got to let it go. 2018. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, please.